Welcome back to the Financial Reporting Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Tricarci, and we are back with our coverage of day two of the AICPA and SEMA conference. But before we get into that, I didn't do a great job of this yesterday. I just want to say at the top that if you're listening and you're interested in the conference, KPMG's coverage is hands down the best place to go for insights. In addition to this podcast and the one we did yesterday, we have an entire website dedicated to the conference. I think at this point we've published 7 different articles covering each of the major sessions, which has a lot of great information about what was said, as well as additional resources that we have on each topic. And the website looks amazing. So if you haven't seen it, please go check it out. You can find it by Googling KPMG Financial Reporting View, and then the conference webpage should be the first link. So with that, let's get back to the podcast. And I'm happy to welcome back Aaron McCloskey, our SEC topic team co-leader. Aaron, accounting palooza rages on. I'm glad to see you survive day two.
Yes, it was a packed day, certainly.
And obviously, I've got to start with the most important question. What was lunch?
It was chicken.
Chicken again?
Again.
Wow. I think we officially have our first major surprise of the conference.
Yeah, usually a little bit more variety, but no chicken.
All right, so let's get into the agenda from yesterday, day two. So the CorpFin panel was one of the major sessions, and that's always really informative, especially this time of year, right, as companies head into year end. So I want to start there because I think that'll be the most relevant to our listeners. I think the big development last year was on the segment ASU, right, and like how they were going to handle the multiple measures of segment profit or loss that's permitted under the new ASU. Did they comment on that this year? And I guess any other discussion on segments?
There was some discussion about the fact that the standard does permit additional measures of segment profit or loss in the notes to the financial statements. And the staff did comment on their views regarding this and stated that they would not object to those measures or an additional measure of segment profit or loss in the notes to the financial statements that are not calculated in accordance with GAAP. But the company would need to make sure that they comply with the provisions of ASC 280, the segment standard, as well as the SEC's non-GAAP rules. So that would be Reg G and Item 10E of Reg SK.
Okay. Well, that's good that they clarify that. I think it raises some interesting audit issues, you know, just given that usually that's not part of what the auditors do. Did they have any discussion on how that's going to intersect with the audit opinion?
As you mentioned, you know, historically, we don't see non-GAAP measures included in the financial statement notes.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah.
It does create a bit of a question about how the auditors should handle that. But, you know, no different than current practice. Auditors are only responsible for auditing to U.S. GAAP. And so that does not change. And, you know, they're not responsible for auditing the compliance with the SEC non-GAAP rules. Certainly, if a company is going to be including any sort of additional measures of segment profit or loss that would be non-GAAP, they certainly want to start talking to their auditors sooner rather than later to make sure everybody's on the same page about that.
I certainly agree with that. And we're actually going to have a segment podcast coming in January, and I'm sure this will be one of the main talking points. Okay. I also heard from some folks that they talked about Pillar 2, which is music to my ears. As you know, I've been deeply involved in Pillar 2 over the last couple of years. So what did they say about Pillar 2?
So from an MD&A perspective, companies, you know, should be considering whether or not what the impact is and how they're affected by these tax law changes, particularly due to Pillar 2. And so in the sense that they have been impacted by the change, they will want to make sure that they are adequately describing the economic change as well as the effect that the tax law change has had on income. And then from a going forward perspective, you know, to the extent that there is any known or reasonably likely known effects on future operations related to the tax law changes, they should be making those disclosures as well. And that should be from a quantitative and qualitative perspective. And I guess I should point out it's to the extent that that information is material to an investor's understanding.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's going to be interesting to see how companies respond to that. And next year with Pillar 2, we've got the new UTPR coming online, which is going to be a big deal. So it'll be interesting to see what companies say about that this year. But I guess it just goes along with CorpFin's longstanding positions. They don't want any surprises, right? Somebody says, oh, we're evaluating, and then all of a sudden, bam, you've got a big item in the financial statements that investors weren't, you know, aware of, right?
Absolutely. They did make comments about wanted those warning disclosures, as they called them. And to the extent, you know, companies aren't aware of what the impact is now, as time gets closer to the effective date of those requirements, they should be, you know, getting more and more information, and their disclosure should certainly be evolving as well to disclose any information regarding the impacts that it could have or has had.
Okay. Any other like specific topics CourtFin mentioned this year that were interesting?
Yeah, they talked about artificial intelligence and companies' disclosures regarding that. So no surprise, given the prominence that seems to be taking in a lot of our lives from, you know, day to day, as well as accounting, financial reporting, and everything in between.
But I feel like Gen AI is not just accounting. Every conversation, somehow it finds its way into it, you know? So what did they say about it? I'm sorry.
Yeah, so they basically reminded companies that you should be avoiding any sort of boilerplate disclosures regarding a company's use of AI and ensuring that, you know, they're very tailored and specific to the company and how they're using it. So ensuring it's as specific as possible to the extent it makes sense, so that a reasonable investor has an understanding of how a company is using AI in their operations.
Gotcha. So it sounds similar to what we heard from them in recent years on like crypto and blockchain and climate. It's got to be specific, you know, no greenwashing kind of stuff. So that makes sense. I know there was a cyber panel yesterday, which I think included some members of CourtFin. So a natural segue here. What'd you take away from that panel?
The takeaway here was that these should not be boilerplate disclosures. If a company
sounds
has
familiar.
A cyber recurring theme there too.
Yeah.
To the extent that, you know, companies have a policy, they, you know, shouldn't just be stating we have a cyber policy, but explaining that cyber policy and disclosing that accordingly.
Let's pivot away from CourtFin, as much as I love talking about CourtFin. And, you know, yesterday we mentioned the PCLB briefly because of the remarks that were made by Commissioner Ueda. And then the PCLB chair spoke yesterday. What do we hear from them?
Yeah, the PCAOB discussion. So Erica Williams, the chair of the PCAOB, provided her comments, and then there was a panel discussion. And a lot of discussion focused on driving forward audit quality to protect investors. They talked about the importance of audit firm culture and how that plays an important role in maintaining and enhancing audit quality. They talked about the standard setting projects that they have completed, as well as that are on their pipeline, focusing on modernizing some of their rules and things like that. So, certainly talked about, you know, just their agenda and what's happened over the year and what's to come.
Okay. So pretty much business as usual.
Business as usual.
All right. Okay. And then I think the last session I wanted to ask you about was this chief accountant panel. I think the chief accountants for all the big four firms spoke about practice issues. What'd you take away from that?
Yeah, this panel is always interesting. It's, you know, a lot of technical accounting is discussed on the panel. So quite complex.
What could be more interesting than that?
I know. And, you know, they talked about things such as classification of financial instruments as debt versus equity, which can be quite complex based on, you know, the nature and provisions of terms and things like that. So we won't go into that there.
I feel like that's come up a lot this conference.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There has been, that was also another item that was touched on in multiple panels. And then another topic that was discussed on this panel were cash flow statements. And I also thought it was important to maybe tie back to the CourtFin panel. There was a recommendation by the CourtFin staff of providing in your accounting policy disclosure some detailed information about why you've classified a particular item in a particular category in your cash flow statement. So something for companies to think about. And I'm sure this will also be another area that is a focus by the SEC staff in their reviews.
Sounds like it. I mean, I think it was this time last year that we got the statement from Paul that I would say put everybody on notice, and you know, they're continuing that messaging this year. So important heading into year end. I'll be interested to see if this is one of the things that comes out of the FASB's invitation to comment. You know, is there something that needs to be changed with the statement of cash flows? I guess that remains to be seen.
Yes.
All right. Well, it sounds like it was a pretty packed day. What's on the agenda for today, day three?
Today is another full day. We've got a panel from the Division of Enforcement. So we'll see what is going on in the enforcement world. We will also have some discussions about Pillar 2. There's some discussions about sustainability, and we'll also get a securities law update. So hearing what's going on in that world as well. So another full day.
Awesome. Well, hang in there. For coverage on day three, I would tell people go to our website and check out our blogs. Again, we're going to continue to post those based on what we hear. If something major comes out of it, Aaron, I'm going to call you up and we'll do another podcast. But for now, I just want to thank you for being here. And as always, appreciate the insights.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode, which I hope you did, please give us 5 stars and make sure you subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. We've got some really great content coming up that you will not want to miss. And in the meantime, you can check out our website at frv.kpmg.us. We've got some really great materials on whatever financial reporting topic you're interested in. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.